and about verse 13. Please, when you're going to do your Christmas cards and you do one for Bud and Anna, put your cell phone number in there and or call Bud or Anna. And that way they can save their number in their phone. Something's happened with their phone and it's not right. And I have their number if you need it. All right. Does that make sense to everybody? Is that good? All right. That's my public announcement for today. Galatians chapter 1. I wanted to get up here, and Kimberly messed me up. I wanted to get up here and say this. I wanted to say I apologize for this Sunday's both messages. Everybody else thought it was awful. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just stay where I'm at. It's not an awful or a good thing or a bad thing. It's the essence or the what God was really pressing on me to get out. You know what I'm saying? And me, I'm always critiquing myself, but it's not a critique of myself. It's what God really wanted to get out of Galatians chapter 1 that I don't know if I got it out or not. We went through some things, but I want to go back to Galatians chapter 1, and hopefully we'll get to 2. We're going to go really fast through the back end of 1, and hopefully so chapter 2. And I'm not saying there was anything preached or not preached that I didn't want to preach. I just didn't think we reached where God wanted us to reach, and hopefully we'll do that tonight. And if not, we'll be back Sunday. And everybody said, well, it's Christmas time, Kevin. You got Christmas messages? Every message we got is a Christmas message. Amen. But anyway, let's dig in. Y'all ready? Go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Paul says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For neither received it of a man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous, of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, let's stop right there in verse 14. I want to tell you something that God wanted it to get clear to you from me, from him, is this. Paul was sold on the Jewish religion. He was Judaism, the law. He was sold on it. He was circumcised the eighth day. He was raised a Benjamin of the right hand. He was trained up. He was set under Gamaliel, which is the highest of the highest teachers there are. Amen. And he was a smart young man, and he was coming up the ranks. He was a believer, but I wanted to give y'all something that I haven't really thought about. Paul was he was killing for what he believed. He would kill you if you said the law doesn't work. Judaism is false, and you need to just put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And he had Stephen preached a message in front of him, starting back in the beginning of the New Testament with Moses or the Old Testament, and went all the way up into that point. And he watched a man gloriously die for what he believed in. And it still didn't change him. It might have started something, didn't finish it. Amen? I just wanted y'all to get a hold of something. This man was staunch believer. He believed he was working his way to heaven, and he was on the fast track. I don't even know if anybody in this room can comprehend how much he believed. There's some things that I believe in, but I don't know if I'd kill over them. Amen? I mean, if you got right down to it and you said, well, I just don't believe in that, I'd be like, well, we can, you know, go our separate ways or, you know, whatever. Now, if it got physical, you know, whatever, but I still don't know if I'd kill you. But Paul was so enraged at what he believed, he said, give me letters. Give me permission to go down here and get them. Are y'all getting how strong he believed in what he did? I mean, he was a top, I mean, he was a top of the top, and he was a goat. He was very zealous. That means he was the one who volunteered to take care of the business, right? He was the one who, I said, somebody said, do anybody know the answer? I do. Is anybody in here perfect keeping the law? Me. Amen. I'm as good as they get. He'd tell you he was. He told you several times in the Bible. So I wanted you to see that. So for him to be converted is amazing. And when you read Paul's writings or you hear about Paul wrote 13 or 14 epistles in the New Testament, don't just sit there and go, well, you know, yeah, he got saved, big deal. And this is a guy who literally, if you stood in front of him and said the name of Jesus, he would say, kill him, get his wife and children, and get him up to Jerusalem, and maybe we'll have to stone them to death too. That's how cold he was towards that. That's exactly who you're dealing with. So when he got converted, you got to believe somebody who believed all the Ten Commandments, all the Jewish commandments, all the traditions, and one day he got converted and said every bit of that. Goodness gracious. I know I'm not a very good at this right here, but I just want you to get the weight of that. Somebody like that converting is amazing. He's not a drug dealer, not a prostitute, not a liar, not a thief. If you stood around him long enough, you would kind of go, man, that dude intimidates me. He's smart, and he knows the Bible, and he knows what God, he knows all the laws and the commandments, and he's God, look at him, he's impressive. Amen. Are y'all good? Are y'all getting it? Because I hope y'all get this. It's big stuff. Watch this right here in verse 15. But when it pleased God, hallelujah. Oh, let me just do it. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Man, listen what he said. He knew his whole life up to that point was something that was created by Judaism, and he would climb this ladder, and one day he met God, and he met his purpose. Golly bum. He met God. God had intertwined when he was in the womb. God was designing Paul. Golly bum. He was making a brain that can house all this stuff. He was making a mouth and a voice box who could speak to anybody. He was weaving this guy and saying one day, he's got a zeal to go after me. He just don't know me yet. Right? And let him go all the way up into that point I want y'all to see it. But when it pleased God. Man, y'all are not, we're not shouters and runners and stuff like that, I know that. But every once in a while, you should just let that creep in and sneak in right there when it pleased God. Because some of y'all are thinking that your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Some of y'all are thinking that there's some people that God just won't reach. Listen, God designed some people in the womb and they're not activated until they're activated. God. Did you get what I'm saying? Don't give up on people. Keep praying. Keep telling them the story. Keep telling them what your testimony. Keep loving them and waiting. Because I guarantee you when they said, hey, Paul's a gospel preacher now, most of them went, what? You know they did. You can read it in the book of Acts. They were all like, Ananias, go down there and pray for him. They said, I ain't going down there and praying for him. He's blind. Good, leave him blind. Hard to catch people when you're blind. Amen? Y'all good? But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Whew. Listen, I want to tell everybody in this room, I want you to hear this. Every man and woman and child, even in this room, you have a place. And most of you, hopefully you know it. There's crossroads in life. Amen? There's crossroads. You're going to have to do something with Jesus. And you're going to have to do something with your life for Jesus. Now, I don't know. Sometimes those roads are the same day. And sometimes they're not. Paul's was the same day. He's on the road to Damascus. He found Jesus and knew what he was supposed to do on the road to Damascus. Amen? you're going to suffer many things. You're going wrong. Okay, so you know there's a lot of stuff right there, but I want you to know, listen, everybody, some of you, well, how about this? Let's not get into that. I just want to say everybody has crossroads. Where you got to meet Jesus. It's Wednesday night. I hope you know Jesus. Crossroad number two, what are you doing for him? If you haven't got to that crossroad yet, it feels a lot like when you got saved. You don't know what it looks like. You don't know what it feels like. You don't know how to do it. You just know you got to do it. Amen? Does that make sense to you? And listen, somebody asked me one time, how do you know you was called to preach? It was like a fire bubbling up inside of me. Amen? And the night that I was called to preach, God sat down on me, and I knew from that day to the last day that I can, or when I die, I am going to preach. That's it, period. I ain't got no choice. I had to make a choice that night, and that choice was, go ahead, God. I got it. I'll take it. Amen? Y'all good? But listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Life will be pretty miserable if you miss that first intersection with God. It's going to be a miserable life. It'll seem fun sometimes, but you'll know there's something missing. But let me tell you the importance of missing that second one. That life's empty too. Because you'll be a Christian, and you won't be hardly identified as one, and you'll be trying to still be unsatisfied by the things that you thought you'd be satisfied in the past, but every time you try it, you'll be unsatisfied. Get it? Let that sink in. I know it's hard to hear, but it's Wednesday night. That's from somebody on a Sunday morning when they come in here and they've been saved, but they ain't changed. I don't know. God gave it to me for tonight, so let's really think about it. Amen? Let's really think about it. I know it sounds crazy. I'm preaching to you better than you're letting on. It sounds crazy what God is telling you to do. At this time and this place and all the other excuses you got. Sounds crazy. But it ain't crazy to God. It's about as crazy as having Paul preach the gospel. You understand what I'm saying? A man that hated the gospel, that killed people that loved Jesus. I want you to preach the message. I guarantee you, Paul was sitting there going, God, you're a bad personnel guy. We're supposed to be going fast. Sorry. Are y'all all right? Is this good? Are y'all all right? I feel like we're finally in the place where we need to be on this letter. I'm just going to be honest with you. But when it pleased God to reveal, all right, verse 16, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Verse 16 is important. Stop trying to get it cleared through people. Just surrender it to God. Stop sitting there going, all right, God, if my dad will tell me it's all right, if my mom will tell me, if my wife, if my husband, just confer with the one who called you. Does it make sense now? Some of y'all, does it make sense now? Stop trying to, because I tried to too. I tried to talk to my dad who was a preacher. Hey, Dad, I got this thing going on. What do I do? He said, just wait on God. What is that? Don't confer with flesh and blood, because I can't start it, son, and I can't finish it for you. Amen? The one who called you, he'll start it and he'll finish it. So just trust in him. I love what Paul did. Y'all ready? Verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. No, sorry. To them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again in Damascus. He sent him out into the desert. And that's okay. I got some good preacher friends of mine, and I'll tell them sometimes, like, man, remember when Paul got sent out in the desert for those 3 years? They go, yeah, that was college. I see you're kidding. I see you're joking, right? No, that's kind of like what that is. I said, there was a theology school out in the desert, in Arabia, in the desert. Who was the teacher? Who was the dean? I'm not against education. Some of y'all think, well, he's just preaching against education. No, go to college. If God tells you to go to theology school, or what is that, the school of theology? Go. Go to Bible school. Go to Bible college. Go sit under somebody who's got authority. Go sit under a great pastor. Go get in a ministry and start at the lowest rung. Wash floors. Wash dishes. Do something. Get under somebody. Get under the authority of God. Get in a place where it's just you and God. Be careful right here. Get where the Holy Spirit can show you what He has started in your life. That's what Paul did. If I get along with you, me and you, we can work this thing out. See, Paul had something that most people don't have. He had already had an indoctrination of the whole Bible. No, come on. Y'all better help me preach. Listen, he had an indoctrination. All he didn't know is he couldn't see Jesus in the Bible. He couldn't see Jesus in the Old Testament. But when he found Jesus on the road to Damascus, Jesus said, hey, let me come show you something. I'll show you something in the volume of the book. Paul looks back in Genesis and Exodus and goes, oh, there you are. You've been there the whole time. That's why when I meet Jewish people who say they don't believe him, I say, how do you read the Pentateuch? How do you read the Bible and not see him in the Old Testament? He's everywhere. Amen? He's everywhere. Paul got separated for 3 years. I love it. He didn't go up to Jerusalem first trying to get everybody to accredit him. He didn't go to the pulpit. He didn't go to the church and say, let me have a microphone. He said, hey, let me find a place where it'll just be me and God for a while. You got to start somewhere. Amen? You got to start somewhere. You know, can I preach just a little deeper right there? Sometimes you got to start somewhere humble and small where you can make a bunch of mistakes and not in front of a lot of people. You know what? God put me in this place where I worked with three people, and he put the devil in there with me, and he agitated the fire out of me, and it took him about 2 years to really get a bunch of stuff out of me. And guess what? I thank God for that place because he agitated the dirt out of my life that I didn't know was still in there. I was saved and sanctified, but I wasn't ready for prime time yet. So guess what? God took me to a place where he could work the junk out of me. Amen? Some of y'all, do y'all know that God's still working some junk out of you? Have you gotten mad and you didn't know you can get that mad yet still? Ooh. Hey, come on, don't give me that righteous anger stuff. Have you run into something since you've been saved and you was like, I'd never do that anymore? And by the time somebody said the wrong thing on the wrong day at the wrong time and you was over there going, man, somebody gonna have to, I might have to go talk to Jesus again. Because that's about where I was. I've been there, amen? I was irate. And I said, whoa, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be a preacher. Preachers don't supposed to be whooping nobody in a parking lot. Hey, man, well, you can meet me right out here. Let's go. I'm like, whoa, never mind. Maybe the kind of preachers you know do. I don't know. Verse 18, we're supposed to be getting to chapter 2, and I'm hoping I can. Are y'all all right? Is everybody breathing okay? Good, good. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But the other apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. He's saying these are absolutely true. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they heard only that he which persecuted us in the times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. That's what you want to get out of your salvation. The people that looked at you that used to hate you or used to know you as one thing, when they might not be able to recognize you, they might not be able to say anything about you, but at least they'll be able to say, he is doing something or she is doing something for Christ now. Look at the last verse right there, and we're going to go into chapter 2. I promise I'll go fast in chapter 2. And they glorified God in me. Whew! That's all God wants out of your life after you get saved. He ain't trying to kill you. He ain't trying to embarrass you. He ain't trying to destroy you. He ain't trying to send you somewhere where you can die. He's trying to glorify himself through you. That's it. That's it. And when you get saved, what you're supposed to do when you have that crossroad of salvation and then that crossroad, maybe same day or different time, when you meet that crossroad of what I'm going to do for God, what you do at that point, you say, God, this is a blank check, me for you. Spend my life how you wish and you'll have the greatest life you've ever had. You'll have the greatest life you've ever had. You say, what if you're living or dying for God, it'll be the greatest life you ever have. When you get to heaven, you call me on that. You start doing, if you ain't met your crossroad, if you have, get busy serving where you know you're supposed to serve. Meet me in heaven. I guarantee if you serve him with all your heart, mind, soul, we meet in heaven. You'll say, here's one thing. I guarantee you'll say this. I wish I'd have done more for him, not less. I wish I'd have gotten more trouble with him, not less trouble. Amen? Are y'all good? Y'all having a good time? I'm having the time of my life. I feel like we finally got where we're supposed to be on this thing. It bugged me. I mean, for 2 days, I'm sitting there going, God, I didn't do that right. And he goes, no, you didn't, but you got a good chance on Wednesday. God's a good do-over guy. Amen. Galatians chapter 2. Let's jump in. I won't be long, I promise. I'm going to try to get down to maybe verse 4, verse 5, and I'll go fast. Then 14 years after, woo! Do you understand what he's been doing for 14 years? He's been going and telling people who don't have Christ and don't have Judaism about Jesus. The man who had all the rules and all the laws and all the different things. I mean, from top to bottom Jew. Now he's going to the worst of the worst people and saying, listen, that those 30 idols you got up there, hey, would you put some clothes on, sis? Oh, listen, y'all don't think what I'm saying is true. Back then, they worshiped sex gods, all this different. I mean, he would walk up on like full-blown things going on, and he'd be like, all right, listen, everybody put the clothes on. I'd like to tell you about Jesus. Amen. Y'all don't think I'm telling you the truth. This is absolutely true. They had goddesses on heels and different things. And he goes, all right, after that, I want to talk to everybody. And he was going and telling me, what we have to do, we worship this, worship the moon, the sun, the stars, that goddess, this god, that. No, one Jesus Christ and him crucified. I ran into him one day. He's brighter than the sun. He threw out the stars, the moon. I mean, it reflects him. He's so bright. He's amazing, this Jesus. And they're like, what else do we got to do? Just believe. And for 14 years, he laid down church after church after church. Amen? And 14 years later, he comes back to Jerusalem where he started. When you go back to where you started, sometimes it can be intimidating because you don't look like you looked and you don't act like you acted. Woo! I'm going to say some stuff that you don't get to say. Listen, I was raised in legalistic church. When I go into a legalistic church now, I don't even know how to act. I'm like, oh yeah, I got a beard. Huh? My hair's 2 inches long instead of one. Sorry. I'm just going to be honest with you. I ain't got a tie on. Amen? Because I don't like ties. If you see me in a tie, I was convicted. Amen? I fell under conviction. I'm being honest with you. There's been times where I'm like, I ain't wearing a tie, God. And he's like, yeah, you are. I'm like, all right, I'm wearing a tie then. Amen? I don't like them. They're restrictive, especially when I weigh 305 pounds. That's one reason. I weigh 315 pounds. I'd wear a tie. I feel like a dog with a choker on my neck. I don't know where I was going with that. You can tell that wasn't of God because I got way out there. Legalism. So I go back into a legalistic church today. I don't even know what, because you know what? I'm so far removed from that because I'm not trying. I'm saved by grace. I'm free. I don't need you. I don't have to have you. God opened up doors and opportunities for me over and over and over. When I finally said, all right, God, I trust you. He said, okay, if you trust me, I'll take you places and let you do things that you never thought you could absolutely do. And he did. Amen? And you know what? Legalism will separate more people from the church than sin will. Sorry, I just had to say that. Because you have a legalistic church, people come into the church and they say, I don't feel welcome here, I'm leaving. I don't want a legalistic church. I want a church where broken people will come into and they say, you know what, they're just like me. I think I'll stick around and see what these crazy people are going to do next. Amen? So I didn't get past the first verse. I said I was going to go faster. I didn't get to the first four words, Melissa, listen. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Now this Titus thing is an amazing deal because he brought a Greek with him. Here's this top-notch Judaism, but he brings Titus, who's a Greek, who is not circumcised, has nothing to do. He is the fruit of the labor of Paul's ministry, and yet guess what? He's also saved and a preacher himself. So this is like sticking a thumb in the eye. Because not only did Paul show up different, he brought somebody with him who don't even identify as a Jew. Amen? Can get intimidated. Then he brought Barnabas, you know, he put Barnabas with him. You know, remember Barnabas in Acts when they prayed on him, sent him with him. But let's go a little bit further. Verse 2, and I went up by revelation. Can I ask you a question? Where are you going and why are you going? What Paul go? He said, I went up by revelation. He didn't just go up to Jerusalem because he wanted to go. Don't go back to places or don't go to places unless God sends you to those places. Some of y'all get in trouble and get into situations in your life because you're just randomly going to places and doing things that you want to do instead of asking and talking to God about it. I'll guarantee you, Paul was having the time of his life in his ministry, and he said, let's go back up to Jerusalem. And Paul was probably like, I don't want to. No, I want you to. Okay, let's go. All right? And can I take Titus and Barnabas with me? Absolutely, take Titus because this is going to be fun. Amen? Y'all good? Stay with me. I promise I'll get done. I hope some of y'all are sitting there going, I hope he don't get done because I kind of like this stuff. Verse 2, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. He got all the apostles together and put them in a room that were there, John and Peter, because they were preaching to the Jews, and he said, this is what I've been doing. He wasn't really seeking for their approval, but he didn't want to get in a full-fledged fight in front of everybody. We could all learn from that lesson. Don't blow everybody up. Talk to some people you know that love God and love you. I'll let that seep in. Amen? Don't blow everybody up. Talk to some people that love God and love you. Amen? If God can trust Peter, John, and James, you know what? Maybe I can trust them. He got in a room and he said, you know what I've been doing? I've been going and finding the wildest of the wild and wilds and telling them that Jesus saves, and they've been getting saved. What do y'all think about that, boys? They're like, that's good ministry. They didn't say anything. They didn't criticize him. They didn't say, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. Here's some more stuff to do. Here's some less stuff to do. They were just listening. They were probably amazed. And y'all have heard me preach this before. It's the most amazing thing in the world that Paul's doing what he's doing and Peter's doing what he's doing anyway. They should have been reversed. They should have sent Peter to the Gentiles. Remember, he ate with the Gentiles first. He was down there with a sheet rolled out and eat anything. That's the one you should send to the Gentiles. No, he sends him to the Jews. And he anointed him for it. God could preach a whole message right here. Then he sent Paul and anointed him for the Gentiles. Listen, don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Do what you've been called to do, and don't worry about everybody else. Sitting there going, well, I don't like the way they do their ministry. I don't like the way they did that. Just do what you've been called to do. Listen, I really don't care what any church thinks about us. I don't care what any ministry thinks about us. I don't. Well, I heard there. Yeah, you heard right. We're just going to do it the way we want to do it. Hey, listen, if we want to do what everybody else is doing and every other church is doing, let's just go join up with them. Otherwise, let's do what God called us to do. These men have totally different ministries, but the ministry is for Jesus. Let's just do it. Amen? Can I keep preaching to y'all? This is good stuff. Watch what I love this. This is the reason I come to preach these next few verses. Watch this. Verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Titus is, golly, me neither. Never mind. God, y'all laugh. It's all right. Titus is standing there, and he's a Greek, and he's never been circumcised. And he's standing there, and he's like, Paul goes, are you feeling conviction to be circumcised with us or up here in Jerusalem? No, sir. I'm good. God, y'all are so cool. I'm good. Right? But what's cool is, and this reason I wanted to preach this to you is, listen, why would he have to be circumcised? He shouldn't have. But ain't that the law with Abraham? Yeah, but what he was saying is, if he did have to get circumcised, that means he would have to get unsaved to get circumcised to be saved. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on. Listen, some people will make you feel like you're less than saved than they are because they do something spiritually, something they like, or something they consider a tradition, then they're more spiritual than you. Listen, if you've got Jesus, just tell him so and be happy in your flip-flops, your shorts, your tank top, with your hat on backwards or forwards. Sorry, I just said all that. Somebody sit there and go, you don't wear a suit all the time. You don't wear this. Listen, let me tell you something. The Jehovah's Witnesses will show up at your house in suit and dresses. Amen? The Mormons will too. And they're lost as last year's Easter eggs. So if it's all about your appearance and they got a leg up on me, I stood there face to face with them in a t-shirt and shorts. They go, look at you. I said, no, I'm saved. It's amazing. It's awesome. Look at you. You're walking around telling people about something that don't even exist. I'm sitting here looking like a lunatic and I'm in and you're not. Get over it. Stop looking at people. I've told you about this before, but I've went to the hospitals and get on the elevator, and all of a sudden there's a priest standing there, and they're all standing. They're dressed from head to toe. I'm standing there in a button down shirt and some blue jeans, if you're lucky. Look over. Who are you here? Why are you here? I'm the pastor at Flat Top Church.
Really?
Yeah, I got enough Jesus in me, son. Don't worry. I ain't working to get to heaven. You can throw as many Hail Marys as you want to. You ain't getting in. Y'all might not like that kind of preaching, but it's true. Amen? I threw that Hail Mary part in there, football fans. Y'all should have helped me out some. Goodness gracious. Y'all ready? Let's move on. Listen to this, but neither Titus. Okay, in verse 4. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in. Oh, wait, stop. Let me slow this down. And because of that, false brethren unawares were brought in. Okay, y'all good? Who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Get ready. That will happen. And they will look impressive. You good? They will sound impressive. What happened is, I mean, you're talking about elite Jewish men would walk in and sit down in their tabernacle, sit down in their churches, and look around and go, this is all good, but everybody in here needs to be circumcised, and we need to get back to serving the Sabbath, and we need to do some other things too. We can't wash these pots. We can't eat out of that. You need to separate the milk and the calf in there, and you know what I'm saying? Can I put it back in our time? Can I kind of dismantle it and put it back into here? We're having such a good time in the Spirit of God. There are going to be people come in here and say, y'all ain't doing it right. Y'all need to do this and this and that, and that ain't right. And you said that, and you said this, and that ain't exactly right. Listen, please get out of here. We don't want shackles and chains. We want to worship and love Jesus and love people. We want to love God and love people. That's it. If you got a bunch of rules, that ain't us. Keep on trucking. You can get up the road or down the road. I'm sure you'll find one that'll fit your show. Amen? You don't like that kind of straight preaching, but it's absolutely true. Well, let me show you, brother. I'll let you hear what Paul said. Watch this. Watch. This is good stuff. Verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour. That the truth of the gospel might be continued with us, with you. You know what he, with you, you know what he said? He didn't. He said, we didn't even give them an hour. He said, as soon as they started talking, now you got to get this. Get where I'm coming from. This would have been intimidating for him because that was his past, and it would have rung true. It would have been going back to his nature. That would have rung true. Some of y'all are going to get pulled and pulled because guess what? God's going to do some radically cool stuff, and you're going to want to go back to who you were instead of who you are. And guess what? You got to look it square in the face and go, that's not who I want to be anymore. I want to be free in Christ Jesus, and I want to set other people free. That's what I want to do. So you need to get out of my face. You see it? Paul said, I don't want to go back to a bunch of rules and laws and traditions. I want to set people free because I've been set free. I see you, but you're not impressive to me. What's impressive? God, listen. Everybody close your Bibles. Watch this. Watch this. I'm going to help some of y'all right here. Watch this. August 28 of 04, I met him. I'd met him several times before that here and there and ran into him and bumped into him and made acquaintance with him. But August 28 of 04, I ran flat into Jesus Christ, and he saved me. there ain't nobody more intimidating. There ain't nobody more impressive. There ain't nobody any higher than Jesus. So anybody else, I've got to come down to see them. Amen? So guess what? I'm not impressed by nobody. Nobody can tell me anything. If God don't tell it and God don't send it and God don't say it, I don't care. I don't care. I want to go with God. Listen, guys, if you've met God, Paul said it this way. They brought a bunch of people in here and they looked impressive and they talked a lot of stuff, but they weren't about what I met on the road to Damascus. That one outside shined the sun. And those guys are trying to put me back into a graveyard, and I don't want to go. He said, why'd you preach all this to us? What's the essence of this? Everybody in here is at a crossroads. You met Jesus, but have you met your calling place? And if you have, what are you doing with it? I hate to tell you this, but Flat Top Independent Church is going to be a radical place for a while. We're going to pray. And we're going to preach, and we're going to sing, and we're going to worship. We're going to see a lot of people changed. Do you want to be a part of that? You want to be involved in that? Because guess what? All heck's going to come against it. And they're going to try to pull you out this way, and pull you out that way, and pull you in this way. What you got to do is say, I'm not impressed with you. I want to go and see what God's going to do with us next. Let's all stand.